Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12:1. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Philippians 4:6. First Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. As all of you know, we're making our way through this magnificent book of Ephesians. We find ourselves this evening in the 5th chapter. If you have Bible in hand, I would trust, please, that you would open your Bible to the 5th chapter. We'll be reading in a few moments, beginning with verse 1, reading down through to our verse, which is verse 11 for this evening. You and I have the wonderful responsibility of growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. He has blessed us also tremendously. We're the recipients of God's grace in every area of life. We appreciate the fact that we have the assurance if the heart should stop beating tonight, if we should breathe our last breath before this night is over, we'll be absent from this body, but we'll be at home with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This assurance has been given to us upon the authority of the wonderful Word of God. The Bible teaches us very explicitly and emphatically that to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to have life everlasting, which simply means that we have life here and we have life to be with our Savior one of these days. We'll either leave this life by means of the rapture or we'll leave this life by means of physical death. We do not know just exactly when that will take place. God has given us the privilege of being here tonight. which lets us know that He's allowed us to live another day. And that's the reason why you and I this evening can be so thankful for life and for the blessings of life. We can be so thankful for the fact that we have the assurance that we have eternal life. The wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given to us so many magnificent and wonderful blessings. When we study God's Word, it is absolutely essential that we be in harmony and fellowship. We're studying this again this evening, the importance of being rightly related to Jesus Christ. We're dealing with the subject of fellowship decisions. This is a wonderful night for us. We'll see that as we move along in our study. We spend the first few moments in prayer to be sure that we're ready to receive God's Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we bow with grateful hearts this evening, realizing that we're not worthy of any blessings that You have given to us. And most of all, we realize that we are not worthy of the gift of salvation. But we're thankful, so very thankful, that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth as the God-man and be willing to go to the cross and bear our sins. We realize tonight that that is exactly what it took for us to have life of joy and peace and contentment. We realize this evening that it was the death of our Savior Jesus Christ, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session, all that Jesus Christ has done for us that makes all of these wonderful blessings so beautifully available to us. We thank You. We ask that You'll guide us in these moments of study. We thank You for Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 5. A magnificent passage of Scripture before us this evening. I trust that you have your New Testament in hand, your Bible in hand, and that you'll look with me at these wonderful verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, but do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness in silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will smile on you. Salvation is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking in the Spirit is provided by the Holy Spirit. Glorification is provided by the first person of the Trinity. You and I enter into God's plan for this life when we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. No one is ever ready for what God has for us on this earth until we've met Jesus Christ at the foot of the cross. This is presented to us in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Once a person accepts Jesus Christ as Savior, they have what the Bible describes as eternal life. Salvation is the work of God. God is perfect. And anything that God does cannot be improved upon and cannot be nullified or destroyed by any member of the human race. The Scripture reveals that we are held by Him and not by ourselves. There are many beautiful words in the Word of God, but one that we're going to present to you this evening, most of you perhaps already know. I'm going to put it on the screen. We find it in our verse, Ephesians 5:11. The word is K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Most of you have heard this many, many times over the past years. If this is a new word for you, that's okay. Please put it in your vocabulary if you don't already have it there. I have it on the screen for you, transliterated from the Greek. I also have it up here in the Greek. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A, koinonia. The word is translated fellowship. I'm going to go slowly because I want you to see how magnificent this word is. Koinonia. Fellowship. When you look at Ephesians 5:11, it says, do not have fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. On the screen, you see now again the word koinonia. The reason why I'm going slowly and the reason why I'm pronouncing the word is because I'd like for you to be able to leave this place tonight and be able to pronounce the word koinonia, fellowship. Ephesians 5:11. I now put on the screen the scripture. You see it also in last Sunday's bulletin. It says, do not have fellowship with the works of darkness. The first little word there is the word kai, K-A-I, an. The next word is a negative adverb. I presented this to you over and over again over the years. There are strong negative adverbs, and then there's one negative adverb that is normally used with the objective or subjective, not objective, subjective verb. And that's the one that you see on the screen here, may, M-E. What is amazing to me is that the negative adverbs, and uk, are strong negative adverbs, and they, every time you see it, it hits you hard because it is stating a strong statement that is in the negative. But when you come to may, you'll find that it is less emphasis on the strong negative adverb. And it's normally used in a sentence with a verb in the subjunctive mood, which is the mood of potentiality. This says, do not have fellowship with works of darkness. Over the past weeks, we've analyzed the word darkness. We've analyzed the word light, the Greek words for darkness are the Greek words for light. The Apostle Paul is telling the Ephesian believers and telling us here tonight that we are not to have fellowship with darkness. And the word is fellowship. And you will see that, and I'll put it on the screen for you to be able to see it more clearly, because it is a powerful word indeed. I'll put it back here. Koinonia. And then we have the way that the word is used in this particular verse. I'll show it to you now. Let you see. This is verse 8. I'm going to stay with verse 11. I want to get back to verse 8 in a moment, but let's stay right here. The Greek word for fellowship here now is S-U-G-K-O-I-N-O-N-E-I-T-E. That's a long Greek word. I made plans to analyze this for you to be able to see it. And I'm going to show you how powerful this word is. It emphasizes the fact that the first letters in the word is the presentation of a group of people getting together. Sug, S-U-G. Which emphasizes a group together. Do not have a group together in fellowship with the works of darkness. What I will do is go back and let you see this because it's so powerful. Look at the letters, please. S-U-G-K-O-I-N-O-N-E-I-T-E. Now, stay with me for a few moments and look at this word, the meaning of it. When you see this word in the suffix, you will discover that this is a verb in the imperative mood. It's a verb in the present tense, which means continuous action. The active voice says the subject produces the action. The imperative mood is the mood of command. So when you look at this, you will have to see that the suffix on this shows you that this particular verb comes from the word S-U-G, K-O-I-N-O-N-E-O. I've had fun with this, and I'm trying to have fun now showing you what it looks like. Many times when you're typing in the Greek, the first letter of the Greek will come up in as a capital. So that's why this one, the S, is a capital here. S-U-G, K-O-I, N-O-N-E-O. Sug, koi, no, ne, o. And that's the word which means with the imperative mood that you have the responsibility as a command not to be the recipient of having fellowship with those in darkness. I'm going to put it on the screen again for you to see. The simple word, koinonia, which means fellowship. And then, this is the word which is emphasizing how the word is used here. And it is saying, you have the responsibility of getting away from walking in darkness. Now we'll go back to our verse. Do not, and there's the negative. The reason why it's a negative may is that there's always the potentiality of an individual as a believer choosing to go in the wrong direction. So it says, this is a command for us not to be participants in darkness. Do not have fellowship with the works of darkness. Present active imperative, second person plural, and there's that word again. Sug, S-U-G-K-O-I-N-O-N-E-O. And then he goes on to say, but rather reprove. Now notice, please, the responsibility that we have as a believer, because this, again, is a verb in the imperative mood. We have the responsibility to reprove them. And there it is, present tense, active voice, imperative mood, and it's the word E-L-E-G-C-H-O. If you'll remember when we studied Ephesians 5:8, here's what we found. There was a time when you and I, before salvation, were not in darkness, but were darkness. We used these words the other session when we said, pote noon. And then we have, for then, you were darkness. Continuous action in past time, in perfect tense. This tells us our condition before salvation. Before salvation, we were continually in darkness under the control of our old sinful nature. Now, I need to read on the next verses and come back to the emphasis of the subject here. When you go to Ephesians 5:9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, production of the light, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. You'll probably remember that we emphasize the fact that once a person becomes an individual saved by God's grace, they have the responsibility of producing the fruit of light. That's the reason why this says, for the fruit of the Spirit, the production of light, is agathos, goodness, God's good, intrinsic good, and dikaiosune, righteousness, and aletheia, truth. I see that I want to stay longer on these verses, but I've got to move along. When you go to Ephesians 5:10, it says, after we have been born into God's kingdom, we are the recipients of light. We have the responsibility of walking in light. As individuals walking in light, we will be proving those things that are well-pleasing to the Lord. And I emphasized the other day, and I repeat tonight, the Greek word is dokimazo, D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. And that is proving those things that are well-pleasing to God. We have the responsibility as an individual in proper relationship to Jesus Christ of being fruit bearers, bearing the fruit that's well-pleasing to the Lord. Now we come back to our verse 11 and then we'll draw conclusions. Do not have fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Every person here tonight as a believer in Jesus Christ realizes that you and I have what we classify as a nature that is a sinful nature. The question is, do we know what the old sin nature is? The scripture teaches us that this sinful nature is in every individual, the nature within all people, and this is the nature that produces disobedience. The old sin nature then is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. If you'd like to take some notes, you ought to, because you need to analyze the various facets of the information being presented this evening. Every individual has a sinful nature. That nature within every individual is the nature that produces disobedience. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. This takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis. Takes us back to the coming on the scene of Adam and Eve, the disobedience of those individuals, and the fact that God said, if you disobey, dying you shall die. And that is exactly what took place in their disobedience. We've analyzed this many, many times. I repeat, dying you shall die. So the emphasis there was given to them that if you disobey, then dying, spiritually first, and then eventually dying, you will die physically. The nature within all people that produces disobedience is the old sin nature. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. This nature is inherited from Adam. And Romans 5:12 tells us that by one man sin entered into the world. The old sin nature must be understood by believers. We must understand, first of all, that the old sin nature is what we could classify as Satan's inside agent for producing temptation. If you're taking notes, put down number one. The old sin nature is sin is Satan's inside agent producing temptation. I want to explain that for just a few moments. But let's first of all get the caption. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation, which includes sins of cognizance, sins of ignorance, sins of human good, and sins of evil. You might want to write this for yourself so that you can remember it. The old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation. Many, many times I have put on the screen and you've seen the circle of the divine power sphere, the divine dynasphere, the love system. Whatever terminology you want to use is okay with me. We've emphasized the fact that God has a system for us to live a victorious and triumphant life. We must understand that we all have a sinful nature, and our sinful nature is related to temptation. Temptation itself is not the sin, but when temptation comes in, we make a decision of whether or not we're going to yield to that temptation or reject that temptation. If we choose to yield to that temptation, then that temptation becomes a sin, knocks us out of the divine power sphere, and we become recipients of the control of our old sinful nature. We're not in harmony with the Lord then. We're not cleansed of sin then. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit then. We're under the control of our sinful natures. The old sin nature, number one, is Satan's inside agent producing temptation, which involves sins of cognizance, sins of ignorance, sins of human good, sins of evil. Number two, the old sin nature resides in the human body. and is the source of the temptation. Not the sin, but the temptation. The old sin nature resides in the human body and is the source of all temptation, not sin, temptation. Many people have difficulty with this because they don't comprehend. I don't believe that's your problem at all. Volition. Number 3. Free will faces daily temptation. On a day-by-day basis, each one of us faces these various temptations. It's important for us to see. It's our free will, our volition, that is being faced every single day with these various temptations from the old sin nature. Therefore, the volition in your life and mine is God's plan to guard the soul. God gives us a volition, a free will, a choice. And that is a gift from God that guards our soul. The volition, the free will, faces daily temptation from the old sin nature. Therefore, we must understand that God has given us free will, volition. And that's the instrument of God to guard your soul and mine. Number 4. The objective of the old sin nature is to control the soul. The objective of the old sin nature is to control your soul and my soul. That's the objective. I don't know whether you're with me now or not, but I think you are. I think you are aware of the fact that I'm not dealing with the person who sits to the left or right of you or the front or the back. I'm dealing with you, and I'm dealing with myself. I've said this many, many times, and I'm saying it again tonight. Let's just draw an invisible circle around self, and let's deal with what's going on right here with self. You and I have a free will, choice, volition. And God has given us that free will, that choice, that volition as a guard for our souls. The volition faces daily temptations that come in from the old sinful nature. And that volition is God's gift of a guard to the soul. The objective of the old sin nature then is to control the soul. If a person, if you and I choose to yield to that temptation, immediately that knocks us out from under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and puts us under the control of the old sinful nature. Number 5, the old sin nature is constantly throwing up temptation and cannot control without volition's permission. This is something you have to put down in your thinking. I have to put it down. I have to realize it on a moment-by-moment basis. You and I all are aware of the fact that we have a sinful nature. I could get into the various discussions related to the weaknesses and the strengths of the sinful nature in the field of asceticism and lasciviousness and all of those things. I'm not dealing with that right now. I want you to see that we're dealing with the decision that we have to make in relationship to being in right relationship with Jesus Christ, in fellowship with Him. Beautifully presented to us last Sunday. I'm sure you heard it carefully and intentionally. 1 John 1:9 presented to us magnificently. The old sin nature is constantly throwing up temptation and cannot control without volition's permission. Okay, look at this. When temptation reaches the door of your soul and mine, when the temptation reaches the door of the soul, if volition says no, then the old sinful nature is defeated. I'm letting you think with me about it. This is powerful indeed. This is something that every born-again believer must realize. The temptation will come, whatever the temptation is, will come to your door, the door of your heart, the door of your soul. And volition will either say yes or no. If volition says yes, then automatically, out from under the control of the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and under the control of the sinful nature. If volition says, I reject you, temptation, then what happens? The old sin nature is defeated. Number six. But if the volition says, yes, the old sin nature is saying, pass through. Then the temptation, which was not a sin, the temptation now becomes a sin. Number seven, the origin of sin has always been human volition. The origin of sin has always been human volition. The first sin, the partaking of the forbidden fruit, was the sin of choice, the sin of volition. The woman looked at the fruit, longed for the fruit, laid hold on the fruit, lost her relationship with God. Volition did it. The old sin nature is the source of temptation, but not the source of sin. This was so powerful to me, I put it in capital letters and put it on a separate sheet. No one ever sins apart from his, her own human consent. Let's analyze that. You ought to write this down. No one ever sins apart from his, her own human consent. Only when volition passes temptation into the soul does the old sin nature control the soul, and the individual then enters what we call the cosmic satanic system. Do you see how serious this is, folks? Then I concluded, the believer is only honorable and free from sin inside this divine power sphere, which means that we're in harmony, in fellowship, cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit. I always like the way you listen. Much more could be said. I have page after page of information right on connection with this information. But I just wanted to go slowly tonight and let you see it with me. May we pray together, please. Father, we are aware of the fact that this information is powerful indeed, and something that every one of us individually must face every day over and over and over again. We're thankful for the victory that comes through Jesus Christ. And we realize that you have given us the means by which we can have a triumphant and victorious life. We're thankful for the power of the Spirit of God. We're thankful for the Word of God. We realize that the Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're aware of the fact that we cannot be successful in life unless we are under the control of the Spirit of God and the mind of Jesus Christ. That's the reason why we study. That's the reason why we should be so diligent in our study of the Word of God every single day. Because we must desire to have joy and peace and victory and triumph on a day-by-day basis. As we come now to the close of this service, we do not know but what there may be someone hearing this voice this evening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Father, we're thankful that you loved us so much. You loved the world so much that you were willing to send your Son to this earth to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. We're thankful for the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the session of Jesus Christ. We're thankful that the plan of salvation is very clear and plain, beautifully presented in the Word of God, and that Jesus is the only way of salvation. In fact, he said that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. This is so wonderful, Father. We thank you for it. We're thankful for Jesus tonight, his willingness to do all that he's done, how magnificent it is to realize how fantastic God's plan of salvation is through Jesus Christ. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.